Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will, we shall, we must rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of the Most High God and to know that I am loved. It is as you say, Jesus. We know who you are, the Son of God. Hallelujah. We are children of the Most High God. God said so, and we believe it. We are his, and he is ours. Blessed beyond measure this morning to be with you and to move forward in God's wonderful and awesome word. So let's get started this morning. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you today all excited for a great word, all excited to be yours, to wake up this morning knowing that we have breath in our body, that we have a breath in our step, because you gave us another day. You gave us a do-over. You gave us an opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday. Father God, I thank you this morning for waking me up. I thank you this for giving me life. I thank you this morning for giving me your word and allowing me to read it. Father God, I ask your blessing over each and every hearer of your word, every doer of your word, every listener of your word this morning. Father God, I ask you to bless each and every one listening live or listening later. Give them rhema word, Lord, this morning. Increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine and mighty sight. For Father God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my dad. And I lift up your name today. Jehovah, you are awesome and mighty. Christ Jesus, you are my Savior and you are my friend. You are my brother. You are my mother. You are my father. You are my everything. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. You gave your life for me. You went to the cross for me. You bled and died for me. You rose again for me. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am thankful. I am grateful. And I am blessed to be a Christian, to stand on your word, and to know that you belong to me and I belong to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I lift this prayer up, asking you to cover all this planet, Lord God. Give us a day of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's awesome and mighty word. And the title today is, It Is As You Say. And the as you say is Jesus. It is as you say, Jesus. It is as you say. Whatever your is today, it's as he says. I will bless you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I stand in the gap for you. It is as he says. The Lord God will never leave us in lack. He will bless you. And when you think you don't have, you have more than you need. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. It is as you say. So let's get in our word this morning. on this. We're going to have a New Testament Friday. Our word is coming out of the New Testament. We will be in Luke chapter 23. We'll be also in Luke chapter 24, I believe, also. Yes. So we'll be in Luke chapter 23 and Luke chapter 24 through verse 35. And I tell you, it is a great word today. I flipped us a little bit. We'll be back in the Old Testament on Sunday. And I know it's a word that just keeps coming up. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But we'll be back in the Old Testament on Sunday. So let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And it is this. Because Jesus has been arrested. He has been taken in. He has gotten that awful kiss from Judas. He has put back on the ear. Peter has denied him 3 times. And now he's standing before Pilate. You know, and depending on where you read it, we're in Luke, you know, Matthew, Pilate washes his hands of the situation. But as we are in Luke, he just gives them over to be crucified. But he tried his best. He tried his best, and he, you know, kept going over again. Now, y'all want to get rid of us? Y'all want to crucify this deaf man and let out a criminal? Crucify him. Crucify him. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. This is a very prime example of what we call a crowd mentality. We in America witnessed it on January 6th because that's what this same situation is what happens when you have those that can manipulate words. They can get people riled up, ready to go to war, ready to do anything for a person. A lie got folks in this nation all riled up to storm the capital of the United States to do wrong, to take away the will of the people by interruption. And I'm going to say this, and I'm sure there are those that will say, oh, that's just playing both sides. No, I'm not. There were good Christians in that group. There were good people that didn't come to do that. They got caught up just like good people who had seen Jesus' miracles, good people who had possibly been fed bread and fish on a mountaintop, whose relatives who couldn't walk are now walking. People who have benefited from the miracles of Christ are now in the crowd screaming, crucify him! Crucify him! Because they had gotten all riled up by leaders in their churches, by leaders in their synagogue, by their friends and their family. Don't talk about the folks in this word who are screaming, crucify them. Because there, by God's grace, go any one of us getting caught up mentality, getting caught up in he said, she said, getting caught up and doing awful things because we think we are right. Why? Because our leaders said we were right. has Pastor such and such said in his life? Because we've always done it this way, right? We have to be careful. It is as he said, I am. Jesus is I am. And we all will have to stand before him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. We will have to stand before the one and be judged. And will he say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or will we be caught up with the crowd going through the narrow gate, going through the wide gate, because we didn't go with the smaller group going through the narrow gate? Something to think about as we go in our work. And it says, then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ. He himself is Christ, a king. Now, you know what? Y'all all know, I'm going my southern accent, y'all all know that is a bald-faced lie. Jesus never said not to pay taxes. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Sent one of his disciples to the fish, opened the fish's mouth, took out the taxes they owe, and paid them. Bald-faced lie. First thing out the gate. Understand, a lie can get folks all caught up in it and trying to make that lie into a truth. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He asked him and said to him, it is as you say. Bam. Red letter. That's my title this morning. It is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priest and the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce thing. He stirs up the people teaching throughout Judea, beginning with Galilee to this place. Then when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man was a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. He thought he was going to see a dancing clown. Herod was a hot mess. We all know what he had done. Got all hot and bothered by his stepdaughter and had John the Baptist's head taken off. Herod is a hot mess. And he thought he was going to come and see, do a miracle for me, because I'm a king. I want to see you. I want to see you, what you can do. Oh, I want to see a show. Wrong. Just wrong. And it goes on to tell us in the Word of God. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus was like, I ain't got nothing to say with to your evil. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently accusing him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other. For previously they had an enmity with each other. Because they was both doing wrong, they got to be friends. Both not doing right. Pilate trying to do right. Herod just a hot mess. You know, and again, when he questioned him, I'm sure he was like, well, save yourself. Do something. I want to see a miracle. Jesus looked at him. Probably said, you idiot, I'm not doing anything, and you're going to die because you're stupid. I'm sure Judas was not feeling Herod, and at that moment, he wasn't feeling any of them, but he knew, I got a job to do. I'm going to do what I've been called to do, and I don't care what they do. They can beat me. They can spit on me. They can throw me in this robe. They can do whatever they want to. I have an assignment, and I'm going to do what my daddy told me to do. It is what he says, what my dad says, what God says. That's what I'm going to do. And I don't care what they do to me because they cannot take my soul. Whew, Jesus did not play. He just looked at them. I'm sure he gave them looks to say, you're going to be in hell. 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 You're going to repent, but you're going to be in hell. And then Pilate went. He had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accused. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, but it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who has been thrown in prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Let the murderer go. This morning, I just was reading, it popped up on my news feed, about some man in Indiana sitting in jail for murdering his wife, won a primary, county board, won the primary to sit on the county board in jail for murdering his wife. Just because the R is behind somebody's name, R-D is behind somebody's name, don't mean you pick them. Sitting in jail for the murder of his wife, and he wins a primary because he had the right initial behind his name. That is some crazy stuff. Folks better learn how to read. And I understand you are innocent until proven guilty. But that's going on in this nation. God is watching us. Just craziness. Going up and down the ladder. From the left to the right. From up, from down, all over the place. Just foolishness. Because everybody's trying to be on top. And nobody is thinking about their neighbor. On last night, I was teaching the children the greatest commandments and the Ten Commandments. And not any of them, who some should have known, some didn't know. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, to love your neighbor as yourself. These folks wasn't loving anybody. They were full of hate and venom and crucifying. We don't let a murderer out before we put anybody else in. There are folks that will let everybody out that do what's right because they so caught up in a herd mentality. And it says Pilate therefore wishes to release Jesus again. Pilate did everything in his power. He didn't understand that this was an assignment, that Jesus was going to die, and that Jesus had to die. But Pilate, again, was not a Christian. Pilate was not of the way. Pilate didn't know anything. He was trying to do what he felt was right. And he said, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them. But they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them a third time, why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed, so Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released them, the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And a word in this lesson, a life lesson is this: when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. He was exceedingly glad, but he had desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod had no interest in Jesus, the Messiah, or Jesus, the Savior. He simply wanted to see a magic show. Jesus refused to speak a single word to the king. No one can ever manipulate him into doing their bidding. You better understand that. You cannot manipulate God. You cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. You cannot manipulate Jesus. Well, Jesus, if you give me this, then I'll do that. And if you do this, then I'll say this or that. No, it don't work that way. You give your whole self to the Lord. I confess my sin. I come to you a humble soul, asking to be saved by your blood. I confess, Jesus, that I have been wicked, I have been awful, I have been whatever your situation is to you today. And I ask, what must I do to be saved? We confess with our mouth our sins, and we speak as loudly as we can that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is our Lord and Savior, that he gave his life on Calvary's cross for me. We got to make it personal. For me, he gave his life. For me, he died on Calvary. For me, he took all my sins to the cross. And I acknowledge him as my Savior. He is my Savior. He's my friend. And he loves me. He loves me. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's all we have to do. How blessed are we? No bowing down to a statue. No bowing down to some idol. We can just quietly in our car talk to our Savior. We can just be still in a room, close our eyes. I leave them open and talk. He's alive in our hearts. He's alive in our spirit. He's alive in the spiritual realm, fighting for us every day, every minute, every hour. We are blessed beyond measure. Luke chapter 23, verse 26 to 56. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear after Jesus. Because understand, they had beaten Jesus to a doggone bloody pulp. They had beaten him up. I'm sure he was a bloody mess. It says, and a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turning to them said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on me, and to the hills, come, cover us. And for it, they do these things in the green wood. What will be done in the dry? There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen God. Sarcasm. Just throwing it out there. Nasty. And all of them going to have to stand before God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And let's call it straight. If Jesus had come and flown down from the cross, they would have said it was a magician's trick. They would have said he used magic. They would have said everything but that he was the Son of God. We all know when a heart gets hardened, it's hardened. Real hard, and you can hardly change it. Someone makes up their mind that they are this or that, that is who they are going to be. And I don't care how much you try to change their mind, they're going to look at you like you're the one that's crazy and do what they want to do. But let's keep it moving in this word this morning. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Because he was. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed and said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. So he threw it us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Woo, hallelujah. Now, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. There you go. No more animal sacrifice. Torn in two. Because the last lamb was slain. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together, what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Excuse me. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock. No one had laid in there before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oil, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now understand, they didn't go that day. They waited, the ladies, I call them the women of Christ. And let's go up to a life lesson or two for this 23rd chapter of Luke, verse 43. Today you will be with me in paradise. One thief had change of heart while on the cross, and Jesus accepted his expression of faith as genuine. Did the thief deserve such mercy? No, none of us do. But the point is that God's grace saves us, not our merit. It's not our work. It's not our talking. It's not our preaching. It's not anything. It's God's grace that saves us. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy toward me, that we are all sinners saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it says in chapter 23, verse 55, they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Sometimes people who want to discredit the resurrection claim that the disciples went to the wrong tomb. But this verse shows that the women carefully noted which tomb Jesus' body. They knew exactly where they were going because they had an assignment. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 35. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their heads to the earth, said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Can y'all stay with me? He has risen. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was sent to Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloth lying by themselves, and he departed and marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they walked, they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk in our steps? And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our community who arrived at the tomb earlier astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Did y'all catch that? I want to say that again. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As we go back into our Old Testament words. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered them together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they stood and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. What a wonderful word. And if we go to that life lesson for Luke chapter 24, verse 16, their eyes were restrained so they did not know him. In many accounts of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, the disciples did not at first recognize the Lord. And it took some real convincing to get the disciples to believe that Jesus really had risen from the dead. Usually it took hearing his voice and him perform some recognizable action to open their eyes. Only after they became convinced of his truth did they become powerhouse witnesses for Christ. Are you a powerhouse witness today? Are you listening to what he says? Are you on point as a witness? Are you saying, what must I do to be saved if you are not? Are you just knowing who you belong to? I know who my daddy is. We are all siblings. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe in the Holy Spirit that came after that dwells in each and every one of us, do you know who your daddy is? Yes, I do. His name is God, and he is the only one, and he loves me. Psalm 57, verses 4 through 11. And it says, my soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, into the midst of themselves of fallen Eli. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Woo, hallelujah, what a word this morning. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Not some of the earth, but above all the earth. Psalms. Verses 1 through 11. To the chief musician said to, do not destroy a victim of David. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent one? Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? Know in heart you work wickedness. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ears, which will not heed the voice of charming, charming ever so skillfully. Break the teeth in their mouth, O God. Break from the fangs of the young lion, O Lord. Let them flow away as water, which runs continually when it bends as bow. When it bends as bow. Who let arrows be as if cut in pieces? Let them be like a snail, which melts away as it goes. Like a stillborn child of a woman, that they may not before your pot can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, as in his living and burning wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. The 9 verses 1 through 5. To the chief musician said to do not destroy a victim of David. When Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They have run and prepared themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me. And behold, you therefore, O Lord God, oppose the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be merciful to any wicked transgressor. Selah. It is what he says. Whew. We got to have what Jesus said in our hearts. What did he say? It is as you say, Jesus. It is as you say, David. It is as you say, Father God. It is as you say. Proverbs chapter 15. He who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Catch that, politician. Catch that, those doing wrong in the church house. Going after money and stuff instead of going after God. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Hallelujah, that is so true. When you've been sick, when you hear a good report, it just makes you feel good. It makes you have a pep in your step because you're feeling better. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 31 through 33. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. Come on now. I'm going to read that again. Because some folks want to get offended when they're constructively criticized. They want to get mad. They want to leave the church. They want to talk about whoever constructively criticizes. They want to talk about everything but what they did. But let's hear it one more time. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who keeps rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor are harm. Before honor is humility. And I'm going to read that again too. The fear of the Lord of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility, we must humble ourselves before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 through 12. And it says this, the preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of men are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Can I say that again? The Lord weighs the spirit. Grateful again to have been with you this morning. That is our word in our psalm, our proverb, in our New Testament. On Sunday, God willing, we will be in 1 Samuel. And we will start in Old Testament. It will be an Old Testament Sunday. It will also be Mother's Day. So wish your mom a happy Mother's Day. Those that have your mothers with you, and those that do not know that your mothers are with God. Why do I know this? Because God word says so. God is good, and we are blessed beyond measure to be his children. And as we continue in our word this morning, I just have a prayer from our prayer book. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And then we are wrapped up. If there's anyone that has a word that they would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And it says this, when we doubt, keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts. Jude 1:22. God, your kindness knows no limits. Your unending love does not give up on anyone. Jesus didn't give up the cross, did he? And it was hard, but he did it. He did it for us. Walking this road long enough with you, times of doubt are almost inevitable. It is your faithful love and the compassion of your people that keep me coming back to you. Your kind character never wavers. You are steadfast. Your love is strong enough to handle the doubts that may arise. There's no need to try to ignore them or cover them up. In the wandering, you faithfully meet me. You don't want me to pretend to be in a spiritual place that I'm not, and you are not bothered by the questions forced by the reality of my pain. Lord, help me to remember that questioning is a part of the journey of life. Keep me secure in your love as I learn what it means to press into healing. I trust you to not give up on me, even when I give up on myself. And when I am strong in faith, walking in confidence, may your tender compassion keep my heart soft and patient with those around me in their own questioning. And we have to have that. Because sometimes we can start feeling some kind of way. Understand, when you start feeling some kind of way, it may not be from God. It just may be you're having some doubts. It may be you're just not where you need to be today. Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. Don't worry. Just pray. And as our question is for this morning, to contemplate, is this, do you believe that it's okay to have doubts or questions? It is okay. It's okay with you. Wherever you go, he's already said in his word, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And our prayer for tomorrow, for May the 8th, is fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And we know that's the 23rd Psalm, verse 4. Good shepherd, I'm living under your leadership. I know that you take care of me. I won't be afraid of what may come. I won't be afraid of what may come because you are by my side, guiding me in this life. Your constant presence is my comfort and my peace. No one can take you away from me. You keep your eye out for me, so I know that it doesn't matter what the path looks like. You've got me, Lord. When I walk through the grief and suffering, can't make the steps on my own, carry me, my good leader. I know that it's not too much to ask. It's what you gladly do. Lord, you know my heart and how difficult it is for me to ask for help. Oh, this is all me, all my prayer I need. Would you answer the deepest needs of my heart with lavish love and care that you are known for? I wouldn't want to do this life without you, Jesus. You are the source of every good and perfect gift I've ever known. Keep me close, my God, with the confidence that there is nothing to fear when you are near. Hallelujah. And the question for tomorrow is, how does God's presence affect your level of fear and anxiety? God is with us wherever we go. Keep the Lord first in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is this. For every blessing, there is a testimony. And that was a word for yesterday. We haven't gotten today's words. Sister Carolyn is a little behind, but she said on yesterday, have a thankful Thursday. And I say today, have a fear none Friday, because it is as the Lord said. It's what he said. Jesus knew who he was, and he knows who you are. It is as you say, Jesus, we will follow you today and always. And I pray for you all. May the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are special to God and that he loves you more than anything. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. And for those that may not be able to be with us on Sunday, and our mothers, happy Mother's Day weekend. I pray that your Mother's Day weekend be as blessed and wonderful as each and every one of you. Know that you are special to God, and he loves you. It is as you say, Jesus. What Jesus says is true. that he loves you. And I love you too, and there's nothing you can do about it but just love God and get to know his son as a personal savior. And that's it. That's all I got, family. I got to go to work, so have a blessed and wonderful day. I love you all, and I thank God for you. Be blessed. And again, for my mamas, happy Mother's Day weekend. I pray that it is as wonderful as you are. Be blessed. It's a wrap.